Yeah. Great job. Oh, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Happy Palm Sunday. That song gives me so much hope, right? Man, it's such an awesome song. I think today is such a great time to have a message of hope. It being Palm Sunday, and we're right in the heart of the Lenten season, and Easter's right around the corner. This is the beginning of Holy Week, is Palm Sunday. It's funny that we started with that song because last weekend, Danielle and I went to a concert and I saw this tattoo on this guy's back that had a Bible verse on it. It was Hebrews 6:19. And that's all it said, just Hebrews 6:19. And it stuck in my mind and I told myself that I was going to look it up later. And the Bible quote was, "We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure." And I thought that it was such an awesome message of the power of hope. The imagery of it as an anchor, firm and secure, something that we can hold on to when the waters are rough. Another one of my favorite Bible verses is Isaiah 40:31. Where it says, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." So in that imagery, it's putting your hope somewhere. It's doing something with your hope. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength, soar on wings like eagles, run and not grow weary, walk and not be faint. This is one of the, this is one of the most powerful weeks of the year in terms of spirituality and religion. It being Holy Week, Palm Sunday was the day that Jesus arrived in Jerusalem. And the entire Lent season we focus on, actually, I spoke last year on Lent, and I was going through my talk, on Palm Sunday, and I was going through my talk, and we actually talked about like what we do for Lent and what we've been giving up and the spiritual practice of not just giving something up or refraining from something, but filling the void with spirit, filling the absence of sugar or chocolate or coffee or cigarettes or whatever with actually connecting to spirit. So it's so much more about refraining from. I believe that this year, Lent is a little bit more powerful. I believe this year it's a little more tangible. Lent always begins on Ash Wednesday, which this year happened to fall on Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day this year was an incredibly memorable day, and we'll actually talk about that in a little bit, but it's a 40-day journey. I love poking fun at Catholics just a little bit, and I apologize in advance, but Lent is actually 46 days from Ash Wednesday to Easter Sunday, well, 47 to Easter Sunday, but Lent actually ends on Saturday before Easter, but that's still 46 days. So the 40 thing is, I just imagine, go with me for just a second, okay? I just imagine like when they created Lent and they were like, okay, this is how it's gonna be. They were like, well, from Ash Wednesday to Saturday is too many days. We want it to be 40, so let's subtract. What can we subtract? Sundays, we'll subtract Sundays. There's six Sundays, so boom, 40 days. We're in church on Sundays, and so that'll work. So it's 40 days minus Sundays. And the truth behind the story is when it comes to fasting, which was the primary reason to celebrate Lent, Catholics fasted every Sunday, so it wasn't part of the Lenten season. It was already being done on those days. I like my story a little bit better, but that's just me. So Palm Sunday, it's, like I said, it's the day Jesus rode into Jerusalem. It's the beginning of Holy Week, and I believe that it was a moment of preparation for Jesus. 1 week before he was crucified, he was exalted, he was praised, he was lifted up in front of his peers on his way into the holy city. Imagine with me for a second the emotions, the feelings that Jesus might have had in that moment. I tell you, sometimes I walk into this church, and please don't hear that I'm comparing myself to Jesus, but sometimes I walk into this church and feel so exalted by you. I feel so loved and appreciated, and everybody smiles and hugs me. And this morning, I had Jesus' process going through my mind and felt what he felt. You guys are my Jerusalem. You guys are my holy place, this community, this church. Imagine what Jesus was going through when he was riding into the city and people were throwing palm leaves on the ground for him to pave his path, to keep him clean and so that he wouldn't step in the dirt. And imagine how proud and humble and purposeful he felt that day. Do you know what sets us apart? What sets you apart today, here in this moment, sitting in that chair? One thing sets you apart from Jesus 2,000 years ago on this day. One thing. There's only one difference between where you are in your life right now and where Jesus was in his life on Palm Sunday, 1 week before he was crucified. Anybody know? Any suggestions, guesses? I'll tell you what it is. It's awareness. That's it. Jesus knew something. Jesus knew that his purpose was to fulfill a prophecy, right? That's why he entered Jerusalem. He knew he was going to be crucified. So even though he knew that it was going to be painful, even though he knew it was going to be a struggle, he rode into the holy city with an awareness of his purpose. Are you aware today that a prophecy has been laid out for you to fulfill? How many people are aware of that? I'm not saying that there's a purpose in your life. I'm not saying that there's something that you need to do in your career. I'm saying there is a prophecy. Holy scripture written about your life. A prophecy has been laid out for your life. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus laid it out for you. He said, "He that believeth in me and the works that I do, he shall also do, and greater works than these shall he do." You see, I believe Jesus' life wasn't just his message. I believe Jesus' life, the miracles that he performed, the lives that he touched, I believe that that was a baseline for our existence. A foundation for our existence. And what I mean by that is our lives, our experiences, the miracles that we are able to perform and to see in our day-to-day lives are built upon that. He was absolutely correct when he said that greater works than these shall he do. He was absolutely correct. If somebody told me 2,000 years ago that you right now in that chair have the answer to every question known to man, every question that an answer exists to, you have right now in your pocket, on your cell phone. We have access to all the information available. That's a miracle. We can fly in airplanes. That's a miracle. We can connect with people around the world. That's a miracle. Jesus' life was the quintessential example for a life worth living. And so today, Palm Sunday is the preparation for Jesus' journey to Jerusalem, through Jerusalem, and into his ascension into holiness and wholeness. That same wholeness and holiness that you possess, that same Christ presence within me and within you, it's time now. It's Palm Sunday. It's our time now to prepare ourselves to fulfill that prophecy. Are you ready for that? Okay, take a breath. Everybody still with me? I know that was heavy. I spent some time this week working on this talk and thinking about Palm Sunday and Jesus' journey and the preparation that he must have gone through. And I kept having this Martin Luther King Jr. quote running through my head and running through my head. And the quote that I kept hearing was, "Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about the things that matter." Our lives begin to end the day we become silent about things that matter. That quote from roughly 55 years ago was so powerful then because of the injustice and the racial inequality that was happening during Martin Luther King's life. But 2,000 years ago, when Jesus walked the earth, it could be argued that it was more powerful then. The day we become silent about the things that matter was something that maybe Jesus didn't say, but that was the message in his life. He invited the peasants, the sick, the ill. He invited these people to him so that he could remind them that they were whole. He could remind them that they were holy, that they were connected, that they were equals. So most of you know that I am personally driven by authenticity. It's what makes my blood flow. It's what makes me connect with people. It's what makes me who I am. And I couldn't be who I am today, and I couldn't be speaking to you today if I didn't talk to you about the incredible events that I witnessed yesterday that were taking place around the country. There were almost 2 million people who were marching in the March for Our Lives event that over 800,000 people in Washington, D.C., and over 800 rallies around the country. This event was facilitated by the students of Marjorie Stone Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, where on Valentine's Day this year, there was a massive school shooting. 17 kids and teachers passed away. And this rally, this March for Our Lives that took place yesterday, was primarily a gun reform rally. And I promised Danielle, and I promise you, I'm not going to talk about politics today, because what I think was more important was the collateral blessing that came out of the rally was the power of these children, these teenagers around the country standing up and saying, enough is enough. When are our lives going to be more important to our politicians than guns and money? And it was amazing. So, you know, most of my Saturdays before church, I spend at a coffee shop or something and kind of ironing out my talk. I'm not kidding. I watched about 5 hours of these rallies around the country, and it moved me to my core. So, when the shooting happened on Valentine's Day, on Ash Wednesday this year, at the beginning of the Lenten season, I can remember having this talk with, I think it was Danielle and her mom at the time, saying that something feels different about this particular. We've become desensitized to it for the most part. There have been shootings since then, and there were shootings before that made the news and then disappeared. But immediately I could tell that there was something different about this, that this particular event was going to shake the foundation. I don't know if it was because of the holiness of that day. I don't know what it was, but Yesterday, one of the students who was a survivor of the shooting, David Hogg was his name, he said during the March for Our Lives rally that this has been a long journey since February 14th, but this has only been our training. Our marathon starts today. So here we are, almost 30 days into our Lenten season, and this has been our training, right? Now it's the preparation time. And Easter starts our marathon. Easter is when we're reborn. My friends, are you ready for this marathon to start? The truth is, you've been training your entire lives to fulfill your prophecy. Here's a fun fact. Did you know it's been actually 40 days today since February 14th? We talk about the power of the number 40. Moses and the Israelites were in the desert for 40 years. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Lent, 40 days. There's a power behind that number. And it's not just a coincidence. What many numerology experts say is 40 is a number of completion. And we talk about that during Lent, and we talk about that amongst other things, but it's not about the fact that it was 40 days. It's about the fact that it came to a completion. And today is the 40th day since that shooting. What a journey it must have been for those kids, those parents, those teachers. What a journey it's been for us. Just as the past 40 days has been a preparation time for those kids, so too have we been preparing. Did you know the mascot for Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School are the Eagles? Let me tell you a couple of things about eagles, which happens to be my favorite animal. Do you know how an eagle deals with storms? Picture an eagle perched up at the top of a tall tree where they build their nests and a hurricane coming. The eagle, better than any other bird, senses the storm is coming before it gets there. It senses the storm and it prepares itself. Most birds scurry and hide and try and survive the storm. But the eagle doesn't get caught in the storm. The eagle doesn't let the storm stop them, or it doesn't let the storm cause them to fold up and hide. Nope, the eagle sees the storm coming and rises above it, literally using the storm to effortlessly rise above the storm. It uses the wind from the storm to propel itself up and propel itself forward. The eagles of Stoneman Douglas High School are spreading their wings right now, allowing this storm to propel them forward into a greater sense of awareness. I believe that God doesn't give us storms because He wants us to struggle. He wants us to feel pain. I don't believe that at all. On the flip side of that coin, I also don't really believe that God wants us to be joyful and happy all the time. I don't think that that registers in God's mind if God was a man standing here with a mind. See, I believe God's goal, or the goal of the universe, if that rests better with you, is to make us holy, to make us whole, just like His Son. His goal for us is to use this week of preparedness to become whole and holy just the way Jesus did. The goal of the universe putting a storm in front of us is not so that we can cower and hide and try and survive. The goal of that storm is to raise us up. My friends, the time is now. As your Holy Week commences in this moment, as Holy Week begins, and you prepare yourself for this journey towards Easter, this journey towards ascension. I pray that you keep that prophecy close to your hearts. Keep in mind that there may be pain, there may be suffering along the way, but I can assure you, every painful experience, every experience of suffering is meant to raise you up, not hold you down. So it is. Amen.